Welcome to Condor Currents, the podcast that flows through the latest in computer architecture research and RISC-V innovation. I'm Ty Garibay, president of Condor Computing. This episode is brought to you by Condor Computing high-performance RISC-V processor IP from Andes Technology, the world's leading RISC-V processor IP provider with 30% market share and over 12 billion SoC shipped. Learn more at condorcomputing.com. Today, we're diving into some fascinating archive papers on quantum simulation, acceleration, and near data processing for AI workloads. Plus, we'll check out the latest RISC-V hardware developments, including a new 160-core M.2 board that's absolutely wild. Let's get started. First up from Archive, we have accelerating state vector quantum simulation on integrated GPUs via cache locality optimization, a cross-architecture evaluation by Gabriel Fernandez-Tomas, Jerusa Marchi, and Eduardo Rodriguez Montero. Now, before you think this is too far from traditional processor design, hear me out. This work has some really interesting implications for memory hierarchy optimization that we see in classical computing too. The problem they're tackling is that quantum circuit simulation is incredibly memory intensive, and while GPUs can accelerate these workloads dramatically, most quantum simulators target high-end data center hardware with discrete GPUs. But what if you want to run quantum simulations on your laptop? That's where integrated GPUs come in. And that's where things get challenging. The key insight here is that state vector quantum simulation has this exponential memory growth problem. Simulating an n-qubit system requires 2 to the n complex numbers in memory. So even a modest 50-qubit simulation needs petabytes of memory, which obviously isn't happening on integrated graphics. The authors focus on cache locality optimization because integrated GPUs share memory bandwidth with the CPU, making efficient memory access patterns absolutely critical. They're essentially treating the cache hierarchy like a precious resource that needs to be carefully managed. What's fascinating is how they approach this cross-architecture evaluation. They're looking at how the same algorithms perform across different integrated GPU architectures, from Intel's integrated graphics to AMD's APUs. This kind of cross-platform optimization thinking is exactly what we need more of in processor design. The cache locality techniques they develop could absolutely apply to other memory-bound workloads in HPC and even in traditional CPU design. When you're designing a processor, you're always thinking about how to minimize memory stalls and maximize cache hit rates, and these quantum simulation workloads are like a stress test for your memory subsystem. The second archive paper is NASI, Software and Hardware Co-Design to Accelerate Approximate Nearest Neighbor Search with DMM-based Near Data Processing by Cheng Zhu, Xuo Yang, and Chen Ni. This one hits right at the heart of one of the biggest challenges in AI infrastructure today. With large language models and retrieval augmented generation becoming mainstream, we're seeing this massive demand for Approximate Nearest Neighbor Search, or ANNS. Think of it like this. Imagine you have a library with billions of books and you need to find the books most similar to a specific topic. That's essentially what ANNS does with high-dimensional vectors in AI applications. The problem is that calculating distances between these high-dimensional vectors is incredibly memory-bound. You're constantly fetching vector data from memory, doing some computation, then fetching more data. It's like having a really fast chef who's constantly waiting for ingredients to be delivered from the pantry. The authors propose something called NASI, which combines software algorithms with near-date processing using DIMM-based acceleration. This is brilliant because instead of moving all that vector data to the processor, they're moving some of the computation closer to where the data lives, right on the memory modules themselves. From a computer architecture perspective, this is exactly the kind of innovation we need. Traditional von Neumann architectures create this bottleneck where data has to travel back and forth between memory and compute units. Near data processing breaks that bottleneck by embedding compute capabilities right in the memory subsystem. What's particularly clever about their approach is the co-design aspect. They're not just throwing hardware at the problem, they're redesigning the software algorithms to take advantage of the near memory compute capabilities. This kind of holistic thinking is essential when you're designing processor architectures for specific workloads. The benchmark results show how RISC-V is maturing from experimental technology to production-ready silicon that can compete with traditional architectures. What's exciting is seeing Chinese companies like Spacemeet pushing the envelope on RISC-V implementation. This global adoption is one of RISC-V's biggest strengths. It's not controlled by any single company or region. So we're seeing innovation happening everywhere. The fact that we're getting detailed performance benchmarks also shows that the RISC-V ecosystem is reaching the maturity level, where performance optimization becomes a competitive differentiator. Speaking of deep technical content, there's an interesting article from iProgrammer.info titled A Deep Dive into CPU Architecture. While I haven't seen the full content, CPU architecture deep dives are always valuable for understanding how processor design decisions impact performance. These kinds of educational resources are crucial as more engineers get involved in RISC-V development. One thing we've noticed at Condor Computing is that many software engineers engineers are getting interested in processor architecture for the first time because RISC-V makes it more accessible. Unlike proprietary architectures where the instruction set is locked down, RISC-V lets you actually experiment with processor design concepts, whether you're adding custom instructions for machine learning workloads or optimizing the cache hierarchy for specific applications. RISC-V gives you that flexibility. Educational content that explains the fundamentals of CPU architecture helps build the talent pipeline we need for the next generation of processor designers. Here's where things get really wild. Hackaday is reporting on a 160-core RISC-V board that fits in an M.2 slot. Let me repeat that. 160 cores in an M.2 form factor. This is the kind of innovation that makes me excited about where RISC-V is heading. Traditional x86 processors are limited by power and thermal constraints, so you typically see core counts in the dozens at most for desktop systems, but RISC-V cores can be much more power efficient, especially when you optimize them for specific workloads. The M.2 form factor is brilliant because it